What if the way we've been taught to interpret Scripture isn't how God intended His Word to be understood at all? What if deceptive worldviews presented as biblical truth have quietly taken root, leaving the church unprepared for the spiritual battle that we're actually already facing? What if we're now entering a season of great exposure where false teachers and distorted interpretations of Scripture are brought into the light as God corrects His bride before His return? Today's guest brings an urgent warning to the modern entertainment-based church, as well as a powerful message of encouragement for the true remnant of the Most High God. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Skywatch Television. I'm Joe Artis Horn. I can't tell you in strong enough language how excited I am for what we're about to do here in studio. We are going to preach, 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 and I have a very special guest that joins us here today to make sure that that happens. Before we dive in, let me introduce who's here. He holds doctorates in theology and religious education, is the chancellor and founder of Biblical Life College and Seminary, Dr. Michael Lake. She's a legend and pioneer of podcast radio, Christian television personality, and best-selling author of The Red Wing Saga, Sharon Gilbert. His broadcasting career has spanned for more than 40 years. He's the best-selling author of the groundbreaking books Last Clash of the Titans, The Great Inception, and The Second Coming of Saturn, Derek Gilbert. She's the host of the popular Christian television program for women, The Simply His Coffee Shop. Please welcome my beautiful wife, Catherine Horn. And she's a credentialed, ordained reverend with a degree in Bible and theology, a powerful voice in Christian television, the one and only Donna Howell.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is a historic day as we welcome back one of my favorite theologians on the planet. I was just sharing with the live studio audience before we started rolling cameras that there are very few people who I would have my children study theology under were something were to happen to me. And that human being is sitting right here to my left, Dr. Michael Lake. We love you. Before we dive into today's dynamic program, I just want to share a couple of things. Historically, can we go down just a moment of memory lane? Let's do it. Okay. You need to know, in case you didn't, in 2014, I believe it was very close to October.
It was October.
Of 2014, two of the very first guests that would ever be on Skywatch Television, we're talking the inaugural tapings, are sitting here, Sharon Gilbert and Dr. Michael Lake.
Yeah.
They were here and believed in all of this when it was just beginning. So from the very ground up, as my father began to project what he imagined Skywatch Television could grow into one day, Dr. Michael Lake, Sharon Gilbert were right there from its inception. And I've got an adorable story. Can I, as a nearly 50-year-old man, use the word adorable? Still retain my masculinity? Is that okay?
Only if you say totes adorbs.
Okay. I will say totes adorbs, but I will also tell you, this story reveals a vulnerability and that I should have known what I was doing. And Michael doesn't know what this story is. He may not even remember that this happened. So this next part is where I might lose some of my masculinity, but I'll do it anyway. In 2019, we've now moved from the old studio to this building. This is before the drapes. This was before the Ark of the Covenant model. This was before we made more elaborate the decor. And it was the Shell studio, and we went live. Once again, who's one of the absolute first guests? Without it being planned, Dr. Michael Lake. Now, here's how green I am as the host. We had enjoyed many, many years of Derek doing this masterfully. Here I am. I'm beginning my inaugural moment here as the Skywatch Television host. I don't even know how to tie a tie. I had not even thought of it until I got to this building. I'm not joking. I'm in the makeup room, my dad's down the hall, and I'm like, I don't know how to put a tie on. I've never put a tie on. Michael Lake comes in. I need help. Yes. So get this. Michael Lake takes that tie, he puts it around his own neck, he makes sure that it's tied properly, then he lifts it back over his head. Aww. And he hands it to me, and I put it around my neck and tighten it. Is that okay? It was almost like a father and son moment. He goes, that should preach. I didn't remember that.
I do.
All seriousness, I have an affection for you as a Bible teacher, as a mentor, as a man of God. And I know that Vicky, Joy Anderson, Jeff Anderson, some of my good friends are here today. I just talked to Jeff the other day on the phone, and we were talking about, he agreed with me, in the days that we're living in right now and also the moments that are coming prophetically, we agree that there are just a few of you, Derek and Sharon, Donna Howell, Michael Lake is on that list of who we feel are vital, necessary voices, especially as we dig into what we're going to be talking about today, and that is the misrepresented, terrible theology that is taking over the popular entertainment-based church.
Yeah.
Now, Michael, for context, let's get into this. I've heard you use the phrase on more than one occasion, discovering the correct biblical worldview. And I know that you're not suggesting that there are multiple correct biblical worldviews, but for those just joining Skywatch Television, maybe they've never had the privilege of hearing you present. Can you just clarify what you mean when you use the phrase, discovering the correct biblical worldview?
Years ago, I used to go to educators' colloquiums, and they would talk about developing and returning to a biblical worldview. But no one ever really stopped to say, okay, which one? You know, it's like, well, I follow Jesus, which one? You have the hippie Jesus, everything goes. You have the prosperity Jesus. Jesus only drives a Mercedes and wears Armani. You have this Jesus and that Jesus. Or how about the one in the Bible, okay? Mm-hmm. I like that one. Mm. It's the same thing with worldviews. Is it a Calvinistic worldview? Is it Arminianistic worldview? Is it a conservative one? Is it a liberal one? Or how about returning to the one that the apostles had?
Amen. Right.
Which what I'm wanting God to do in this broadcast is to take us back and put on the correct lenses so that we can see the Word of God through the paradigm that the apostles had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Well, let's get right into it then. What is, less generically, what is the correct biblical worldview, and how does Genesis 1:2 direct us to the right one?
Yeah. Can I precipitate this? The next 2 years, 2026 through 27, we're getting ready to have a visitation from God, and it's not going to be all happy.
Okay.
He's going to visit anything and everything that has his name on it. If he's not Lord of it, he's going to reveal it for the shysters they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because too many men have been empire building instead of kingdom building.
Wow.
Yep.
And I think we're beginning to see the beginning of this with some false prophets that are beginning to come out. And I've known true prophets in my life. Today, if we lined up 1,000 of them, you'd be lucky to find one real one.
Oh, amen. Yep. Amen.
Wow, that's
and the same thing for Bible teachers. I stopped watching a lot of traditional Christian network TV for a while because it raised my blood pressure. It's like, what?
Yeah.
And so God is coming to judge. At the same time, he's going to begin adjusting the remnant to prepare us for the days ahead. He's going to adjust our paradigms. He's going to start emphasizing things that we maybe never even considered before.
Yeah.
To prepare us. At the same time, there's going to be attacks from the enemy to try to impede what God's getting ready to do.
Yeah.
It is the preamble to the great shaking that we read about in the book of Hebrews.
Mm.
Okay.
And so when we return to a proper biblical worldview, we begin viewing the Word of God the way that heaven views it, not the way man views it.
Mm-hmm.
And the key for me is found in Genesis 1:2. Now, in Genesis 1:1, it's a complete statement. In the beginning, God created, he bara, B-A-R-A, the Hashemayim, the heavens, plural, and the earth. Complete statement in itself. Now, in the rest of the, what I call the recreation story, bara is not used again until God creates man because each one, there is a unique creation going on. But the earth is just there. God doesn't speak it into existence. It's just a big floating rock covered with water. Where'd it come from?
Right.
It's because there's a gap theory. Donna did an outstanding job with her book.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to understand that there's some things that it reveals to us. And the first Hebrew word that we've got to look at is haya, which means it can be, to become. When you look at all the ways that it's translated, to be honest, was would be the very last choice.
Okay.
The very last choice. Why is it that way? Interpretation has a lot to do with your own paradigm.
Right.
To where if I think this is the creation story, I will pick a rarely used way of interpreting it and put it in because my paradigm says this is the creation story, not the recreation story. It should read, and the world became void.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
It became. In fact, it is translated 67 times as became or come to pass 505 times in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So when you go down this list, was is like really small over here.
Right.
We can see the same thing. You know, the Bible talks about, Paul said that the Torah is the end of the law. Well, that Greek word doesn't mean end like termination. It means the end of the journey, that the journey was to get us here to Christ.
Wow.
And then it switches its position. It's now instructing us in how to walk in the kingdom.
Right.
Because Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, mm-hmm. but to fill it full of meaning. Well, that can only be found in Christ.
Right.
And so our paradigms change how that we interpret the Word of God, even though we can have all the Greek and Hebrew definitions and everything. You have to have the right lens. In fact, Hala, which is the Hebrew and Aramaic lexicon of the Old Testament, says, come to pass, to occur, to happen. And so it happened, the world became void. Mm-hmm. Okay, right. Something happened here. Now, what's so important about this, the very second statement in the Word of God, God is at war.
Mm. Yes. Mm. Yes, yes.
Okay, yes. Something happened to his creation. It was made perfect. It became tohu and bohu, which we'll deal with in the next session. But the prophet said God did not create it to be tohu. He didn't create it that way. Something turned this rock, this planet, into a rock floating covered in water,
yep.
and decimated most of the universe. And so if the second verse we discover that God is at war, and how long that war happened, I don't know. Right. Who knows? I even heard one honest theologian says, are we on Earth 2.0, 3.0, 4.0? We don't know. We just know that this be the one that we're on, okay? Yeah. That's all that we know. Yeah. We don't know about prehistory.
Right.
Right.
But if by the very second verse, God is at war, this becomes a war book.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
This is a book of war.
Yep.
Wow.
Now, you don't struggle with free will when you're at war. You don't struggle right now. Calvinists, because they have taken predestination way beyond its bounds, they're wrestling with, well, free will's just an illusion. Evil's just an illusion. There's no such thing as evil because God meant it for good. No, God doesn't control the universe that way. Right. And sometimes evil is for the sake of evil because they're benevolent beings of great power that are at war with God.
Yeah. Yes.
And they do evil just for the sake of doing evil. And so when I begin setting and reading the Word of God that way, the stories take on a different dynamic. The commandments of God take on a different mm-hmm. dynamic. God is saying, here's how you keep the enemy out. Do this stuff. Don't do this stuff.
Right.
Right.
And really, when we interpret Torah, it literally means the loving instruction of the Father. So if I come and I teach somebody, well, Jesus set us free from the loving instruction of the Father, how stupid does that sound? Mm. Those were colloquialisms that were used in the Apostle Paul's day. Under the law meant that you were violating the commandments willfully. Under grace meant you had the grace of God to walk in them. What a difference.
What a difference.
And I start looking, every bit of Jesus' ministry was about warfare. He gets baptized, which was a huge red sign.
Oh,
this is the dude. Immediately, he's at war for 40 days in the desert. And the enemy is so sneaky, he waits for him to be at the place of starvation sets in on his fast to where either he eats or dies and says, yo, dude, make these rocks into bread. The enemy doesn't play fair. But at his lowest point physically, how many of us have been at our lowest point physically?
Yep.
How do you attack the enemy? You quote the word.
That's it.
Because it's a war book.
That's right.
Yes.
Baptism, like Dr. Michael Heiser said, is an act of spiritual warfare.
Yes.
Yep. That is right.
I am wiping off and getting rid of the very stench of Babylon, the very stench of Egypt, mm-hmm. the very stench of the old lying adopted father that I have. I've been born anew. I have been delivered out of their power and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So I'm washing their stench off as a part of this ritual. I'm now walking in resurrected life.
One of the things that we learned in the research for our most recent book is not only did Jesus declare war on the enemy right from the beginning of his ministry, when he was baptized.
Yeah.
It was where he was baptized. Yep. If you notice in John chapter 1, the first three disciples called, which began the day after he was baptized, all came from a village that's 2 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. Where is that? That's in the ancient region of Bashan. Bethany across the Jordan is actually Batania in Latin. Batania across the Jordan. Bashan across the Jordan. Mm-hmm. That was enemy territory because that belonged to the dead. That was believed to be the entrance to the netherworld. That was the Canaanite entrance to hell.
The transfiguration of Christ.
Oh.
He went out to Mount Hermon, where they tried to create demigods. He displays himself as the creator and says, how do you like me now?
Exactly. That is right. Exactly.
You know, you said that this is corrective lenses for how to read this book of war.
Yeah.
You and I both know, anybody wears glasses, has ever worn glasses, you know that it takes a while to get used to the new glasses.
Right. Yeah.
It is correcting our theology, but it's going to hurt a bit.
Oh, yeah. We have centuries of bad theology.
I know it.
And a lot of them are what I call based on theologies of convenience. A lot of them we've had to deal with on the show before, the Sethite theory.
Yeah.
You know why Julius Africanus developed the Sethite theory? Because he couldn't argue against pagans that were saying, well, Jesus is just like Apollo, or he's just like Hercules, or he's just like that. And they had their whole system. Well, this one was 75% God and 25% human, and this one was 50-50. And so he didn't know what to do with it. So he said, let's just get rid of Genesis 6 because I don't know what to do. And he was an apologist, you know. So he had been far enough disenfranchised from his Hebraic heritage that he didn't really understand the dynamic. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons the church had to develop the theology that God, Jesus is 100% God and 100% human, that differentiates him from all the Nephilim of Genesis 6.
Yeah.
Amen.
And you go 2,000 years out, they're getting ready to return. Most of the church says, well, they never existed.
They never went away.
That's right.
Demons.
That's so true.
A lot of them are in politics, but that's a whole other situation.
One of the things that I always feel is very profound that a lot of people overlook, especially because it's becoming really common now for these terrible theologies to be super popular, super, super glamorizing, super entertaining, super well-funded. But one of the things that I share, especially when I deal with younger men that have disclosed a struggle, let's say, with online adult content, and they've seen my book, Innocent Shattered, and it has compelled them, or middle-aged men, women, have talked with my wife and I about some of the issues that they've grappled with. One of the things that I have said over and over again is, yes, the entertainment-based church appears to be running away with popularized culture, but, and here's the caveat, what I have proposed to these young men is, as they're living out their college campus life, Bible colleges, they're in ministerial callings and they're addicted to online content. One of the things that I've said is, but think of how you can then stand out. Yes, it's a cesspool, but think of how God would honor your obedience. You might be one in a thousand of soldiers that he says, okay, this person is deadly serious. I'm going to raise him up. He gets to be a part of the true remnant of God. So while it looks like culture is being seduced, think of the opportunity to spiritually level up in this war. Is that even making sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think be different from the world.
Yeah.
Yes.
Be one in a million. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity of a lifetime. Am I wrong?
The remnant are being activated right now. They don't even know they're remnant. They're just sick and tired of everything that's going on and they want more.
Yeah.
So they don't walk around thinking, I'm a part of a remnant. They're just sick of the culture,
I want the real.
Base. That was going to be something I would ask you next. So what are your thoughts? Do you see, again, this movement of people that are like, I don't put whatever label. Donna calls them the messy ones.
Mm-hmm.
She's talked a lot about the ones the church isn't even going to be prepared to deal with when they walk in, because they come in as they are.
They come in as they are, and they ask questions that irritate everybody.
Yeah,
that is right.
But it's the questions that the world has. These are just side effects.
Yeah. The entertainment-based church has no explanatory power when you're dealing with evil intelligences in the unseen realm that want to destroy us, tear our families apart, and tear down everything that God created and called good. And I think that gets back to the Genesis 1-2 paradigm.
It does.
If we are at war with entities that existed from the beginning, now created by God.
Yes.
They are, you know, God was not there with a bunch of other entities and he wound up in charge because he was more powerful.
Right.
He created them.
Right.
But he created them with free will, just like you created us.
Yes.
They chose badly,
yes.
Just as all of us have. There is none righteous, no, not one.
Right.
Many of these in the unseen realm, likewise. But if we don't understand that we're dealing with these principalities and powers and cosmic rulers over this present darkness, we'll never understand the world in which we live. And that's why you get a lot of people saying, well, how could God allow evil in the world? Because God created them, the angelic realm, with free will, just like he created us.
Hmm.
Yes. Yep.
He loves us so much, he gives us the power and the ability to choose. Gave it to them as well.
That's right.
That's who we're dealing with. If we assume that God created evil, well, then God must be evil. Entertainment-based church has no answers for that because they don't address what Michael brought up right at the very beginning here. God was at war from before the creation of Eden.
That's right. And free will is one of the most amazing gifts. And it is that whole idea that we have free will that the enemy would love to take away from us. It is now being taught in a different way.
Yes, it is.
There are kids who think they're living in a simulation.
Right.
Therefore, they are created exactly the way they are, which means you have no free will.
Right.
Right.
Then you go back to Genesis 3 and find out that we've all been marred, that the original design that we were supposed to be was marred with another image. And now I do have predestination. Mm-hmm. I am predestined to be conformed into the image of Christ. And only in him can I discover who I am. Before then, everything I thought I was a lie because it's the smudge of my evil stepfather.
That's right.
That's right.
That's good.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want to remind you that SkyWatch TV is a viewer-supported ministry, and your partnership not only helps us stay on the air, it also enables us to continue the mission through our networks and digital platforms, reach areas of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ that are unable to support us financially. Right now, while supplies last, for your donation of only $55 or more, we're not only going to send you Dr. Michael Lake's incredible books, The Shinar Directive, Preparing the Way for the Son of Perdition's Return, and The Shearith Imperative, Empowering the Remnant to Overcome the Gates of Hell. But we're also going to send you the paradigm-shattering book, Before Genesis, the unauthorized history of Tohu, Bohu, and the Chaos Dragon in the Land Before Time, along with the amazing full-length documentary movie, Void Earth, Cataclysm Before Genesis. Both of these works reveal the truth about the debate raging between the Old Earth and Young Earth creationist groups and the answers to these issues that come straight from the Word of God. Starring Dr. Michael Lake, Dr. Thomas Horn, Derek Gilbert, Gary Stearman, and Donna Howell. These amazing works, sold separately, hold a retail value of over $90. Yours now for your donation of only $55 or more, which includes free shipping to all U.S. addresses. So again, your support helps SkyWatch TV continue reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can scan the QR code on your screen using the camera app on your phone for instant access to this special opportunity. You can also visit us at SkyWatchTVStore.com or call 1-844-750-4985 and ask for the Michael Lake Kingdom Collection right now. We thank you for your continued support. We would not be here. We would not be able to create content like this or present to a lost and dying world the message of the gospel and the kingdom, as Dr. Michael Lake refers to it as, without your continued support. Michael, with just a few minutes left on the clock, was the worldview of the apostles one of war against the darkness?
It's all over the New Testament. The Apostle Peter, be vigilant. Be sober because your enemy is like a roaring lion. Mm-hmm. But the Apostle Paul said, be a good soldier, Timothy. He lines out the warfare. It is all within the dynamic of warfare because the early church knew that the entire world system was against them. Mm-hmm. They have been delivered out of it. One of the things I personally pray every day is, Father, I bind up the tacit and overt and covert influences of principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, watchers and their technologies, because your word has declared that I have been delivered out of their power into the kingdom of your dear son. So if anybody's whispering in my ear, it's my king and nobody else.
Yeah. Right.
That's a part of this warfare. Yeah. And the most dangerous thing to be is at ease in Zion, because how long are we going to be in this warfare, guys?
Right.
Are you alive?
Wow.
You're in the field of battle.
Amen.
That's right.
Is Jesus ruling and reigning in Jerusalem? No. We're in the heat of the battle.
Mm. Yep.
It doesn't matter our age.
Yeah.
We're in the heat of the battle. Now, somebody with a little gray and I'm getting older, I should have a little bit more wisdom that I can depart to those that haven't been on the battlefield. I kind of look at myself like an old command sergeant major. Okay. And I really looked up to those guys because they've been through the battles when I was in the military. And so when they said to do something, you did it, and then you go back later and say, why? You just did it because there was a reason, because right. they learned on the battlefield. And they had the capability of get this done now, then come back to me later, and I'll show you why.
Sure.
Right.
Which us older guys in the body of Christ, we have got to address these things and be ready. And I think that's part of the thing that God is even doing with Skywatch Television. You guys are in a transition because you're uniquely qualified with all the things that this show has had on over the years. Mm-hmm. I mean, guys, you're hardcore. You endure me being on this show, okay? You got combat boots on. But because of that, God has been widening your vision. You're dealing with subjects that nobody else wants to deal with. The modern church does not want to deal with it, but it's paramount in the days ahead.
Yes.
So that the gospel of the kingdom can be rediscovered. I think we've lost it. It's going to be rediscovered, and it's going to be broadcast, and the remnant are hungry for truth.
That's
right. He has no idea the conversations we have here. He's literally saying precisely what right. Donna Howell and I, my wonderful yep. wife, my friends, the Gilberts, we've talked a lot about that.
Yes.
You know, that for a decade, we've been silenced and canceled and shadow banned. And I can go on YouTube or I can go on Facebook and tinker with a guitar and it'll get 3,000 views inside of a day. But if I go on and talk about human trafficking or child, and I can't even say it now because right. then once again, this whole episode
right.
will get flagged. We have been fighting. Without the support of viewers, like, would not be here. It is yeah. not an easy, none of us are living lavish lifestyles. This is a 1,000,000,000% ministry for the sake Absolutely. Of building God's kingdom.
Yeah.
But we've talked about, man, what about not being a part of what the world views as fringe or obscure or the difficult stuff that the church doesn't want to deal with? What if that's dying and this remnant that we're talking about rising is going to go back and discover 10 years
right.
of content from people like the Gilberts, Donna Howell, and Michael Lake? We may not even be here for that.
And you never know what kind of influencer it's going to have. I'm just talking to a fellow the other day in Honduras and did a program with him. One guy in Honduras, another guy from Chile, but studying the Bible in St. Petersburg, Russia.
Oh,
and
wow.
They found mm-hmm. us and Dr. Michael Heiser on YouTube and thought, these guys are crazy. And then they came back and watched again. It's like, maybe they're not so crazy. And it changed their lives just as...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's like when Prince was discovered deceased in his, I understand that in his personal carriage, his baggage, there was a giant Steve Quayle book
right.
that only people like us that nerd out on this stuff would even know. Most of the world would just see it as a book.
Right.
There are other celebrities that I won't mention because I don't have their permission that have patronized or ordered things from our preparedness supplies over the years. This is public record, so I can offer this. Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. talked on a late night talk show about how much he loves Chuck Missler back right. in the day.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There are eyes on this ministry, Dr. Michael Lake, no pressure. There are eyes that you would never think are watching Bible prophecy, but the world has questions that the church is not answering. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, we are all out of time, but join us next week when Dr. Michael Lake returns to talk about the two greatest enemies of God identified in the Bible, and what Christians need to know to be prepared for the days ahead. It is not a show that you're going to want to miss. For everybody here in studio, everybody up here on panel, Dr. Michael Lake, Gilberts, Donna, my beautiful wife, thank you for being here once again this week. I'm Joe Artishorn. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back.